This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And in my studio, we are having a cat party today. Apparently, there was a memo sent out because there are three of them sitting in the office, all tempted by my desk of papers and my giant microphone and all the tech that's set up here. Oh, yes. All they just think this is great. So we may hear them. There's one called Xena, a black cat, who often talks. And part of that's because she's just talkative. But part of it is because we named her Xena, me and my kids. And when she was a kitten, I used to imitate the superhero Xena, my kids and I used to watch that show. So I would imitate how she used to holler, you know, ay, 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 ay. I would do that when this cat would enter the room or come over. And so now I think she thinks that's her name. And when she enters anywhere, she sort of goes, yeah, 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 just like Xena. So be careful. Be careful what you teach them. Actually, we like it. We think it's adorable and quite funny. But you may hear her later. One of the cats is sitting on the back of my chair, exactly like the cartoon for this show, where one's on the back of my chair and there's a dog sitting beside me. Now, I rarely let the dogs into the studio. Rarely. Once in a while. When I had older dogs, I used to. But now my dogs are very active, busy, boisterous dogs. And I had a few questions come in this last week. Some of them are from weeks before, and I just didn't see them till now. So I figure I should answer your emails coming up. But before that, had a comment. Why don't you ever talk about great things cats do? That's what someone asked me. And as I sit here making this show, one of my cats is scratching the back of my chair. That is not a great thing cats do. But there is a great thing a cat did recently. Pretty cool, anyway. A cat made it into the Guinness Book of World Records for doing something quite sporty. So I'll tell you about that later in the show. That'll be our little quiz question on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. The question for the show today is, what did the cat do to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records? And hopefully I'll remember to solve that before the end of the show. But yeah, hopefully. I like it. I think it's pretty cool that this cat can do that. I'm impressed. I don't think I could do what it did. Well, maybe. Maybe just. As a kid, I sure could. But now? I don't know. That's a bit of a hint. All right. So we had a comment sent to me besides that one, which was from a doodle owner. Now, this person adopted a golden doodle from me last year. And it's a 3/4 poodle, non-shedding golden doodle, about 35 pounds, female. And we plan to do another litter this year. But she was just telling me, okay, she said, I never realized how much love I can give a dog that is non-shedding. So that was interesting. And then I talked to her about how observant and empathic golden doodles are and how they have great memory and adaptive intelligence. And then I shared a bunch of photos of the parents and grandparents, and she shared some photos. They're just gorgeous. So I'll post some of them on Camp Good Dog Facebook. They're just gorgeous. And She said, "We are so lucky and grateful. My heart is full." Yeah, that's what golden doodles do. And she asked me a few interesting questions. So here's some, I'll talk more about the shedding in a minute. But, well, no, I'll talk about the shedding now. So she made a point. And then later on, she said, so way later in the text, I have to go way down. "In the past, my other dogs, I might have given them 10 hugs and kisses a day on their forehead, depending what I was wearing, because they were shedding. But with a non-shedding dog, I probably hug up 50 to 100 times a day, hugging or kissing her. It's a different life with a non-shedding dog." So I asked her, "What type of dog did you have before?" I was guessing a golden, a lab, a Samoyed, a husky, the big shedders, you know. And then I told her, you know, St. Bernard, they throw off spit bombs. And sometimes when they shake their head, the spit bomb lands on the ceiling and stays there for a while. So it could be worse. But anyway, she said before she had a Doberman. And you might think, well, Doberman, they must not shed very much, tiny little short hair. But they're kind of like barbs, labs and dobies. Dobies even more than labs. And dobies have a scent to them, a musky sort of scent. But the little barb hair, they stick in things. So golden retriever hairs are sort of like dust bunnies, and they collect under things in big, big, long, cobwebby sort of things, whereas Doberman hairs stick right into things. And if you're wearing white, forget about it. They're black. So I get what she's saying. So now she has the golden doodle. Oh, she also used to have a Keyshound. Now that's a very furry, thick, middle-sized dog with, it almost looks like if you took a husky or a malamute and shrunk it to half size and made its nose really cute and little. That's kind of what it looks like. That's not what it is, but that's what it looks like. So it's gray and it's fluffy and it's got so much hair, and you can use a shedding comb on them and get like a whole little dog off them. So yeah, so she had a Keyshound and a Doberman, and now she has a little Chihuahua, the long-haired one, she said. So I can see that this, and I told her that at one point I used to have 7 dogs. 6 of them were non-shedding, doodles and poodles. And one of them was a blue heeler, which is a fairly short-haired dog. I mean, it's not a terrible shedder, but 2 times a year that dog would shed profusely, spring and fall. And also just generally, there was more blue heeler hair on the floor always than the other 6 dogs combined. So it just gives you an idea. In the past, I've owned golden retrievers, I've owned Rottweilers, I've owned all kinds of mutts, and I've fostered so many dogs over the years, various coats. But there definitely is an advantage to these guys. Definitely. So let's see. She asked me another question in this text, so I'm going to go back to it. And she said she wanted to know if her puppy, who was born here, if her parents, the male stud poodle called Fabio and the female mama, golden doodle called Peachy, if they would remember her puppy. And so I find this really interesting because science and traditional thinking has always said that adult dogs do not, or that parent dogs do not remember their adult children later on in life. And I've had that experience. I've seen that in action. But what I've seen is that when a mama dog has a new litter, has new puppies, she does not want any threat to them. So even her own adult offspring, even though she may recognize it, she doesn't want it anywhere near the litter. If the litter's in a, you know, a barn or a kennel or a farm area or whatever, she does not want to greet that adult offspring near them. But if you take her out on a leash away from her pups and they're old enough that she's used to going for a walk and leaving them here and there, and she doesn't mind leaving them, she'll greet her offspring like she remembers them completely. So I think we've been tricked into thinking they don't remember because they have a new litter, they have new worries, and they must make sure that there's no threat to their new puppies, either intended or accidental. They don't want a boisterous 1-2-year-old dog running around when they've got newborns. So that's part of it. But I also notice when my dogs over the years, because I run a boarding kennel and I also do a litter a year, that often the dogs who are born here come back. And the way my dogs who live here will greet a dog who is a golden doodle or a poodle but is not born here, is not from here, is very different from the way they will greet a dog who is born here. So the way a mama dog will greet her adult offspring is really quite interesting, at least from what I've seen. The adult offspring will stand perfectly still, stretch, and almost straight and rigid in a very odd way at the initial greeting. And the mama will sniff the adult offspring puppy, now grown, from tip to toe, slowly and methodically. And at some point during this, both of them will burst with excitement, either jump and leap and wrestle and play, or start grooming each other, or start making noises. There will be a sign of total recognition. And then when they do play, the play will be without limits. It will be almost like cuddling, wrestling, cleaning all at once. It'll be all of that in a bag of chips. It'll be everything rolled into one. And I also noticed that the puppies who are born here, even when they're just out with the handler and they will look up wistfully at the barn. Now, they're always born in my house, but they're only in my house for a few weeks, and then I move them out to the puppy barn. And so I don't think they remember the very beginning. They remember me, but I don't think they remember the house. But when they open their eyes, they're outside in a heated and beautiful barn for them, where they're totally safe and their mom gets total privacy and no, you know, dogs, people walking in and out, no driveway noises, very secure and comfortable. But so forever, they tend to look toward that barn with memories. So I think it's really interesting. Now, then she asked, would the father remember them? Okay, that's a little trickier. It's harder to tell. He has a lot less contact with the puppies. He doesn't get to see them. He sort of sees them, glances at them in passing, but he doesn't really spend time with them until they're almost ready to go to new homes, until they can run and play and, you know, we're not worried about him stepping on them or hurting them. The mother is not so protective of them anymore, and they're kind of rough and tumble. That's when he gets to meet them. And if any stay for a while, like sometimes people put their name on one and put a deposit down, but they're not ready to get it, and so there'll be a puppy here for an extra month or two, oh, he'll play with them. He'll have them all chasing him. So I think he remembers them, but it's in a different way. And because he's a stud dog, when a female is introduced to him, and an adult female who is not spayed, I think he automatically assumes it's a date. You know, it's a meet and greet for a future date if she's not in heat, that kind of thing. So he might misunderstand it. So with him, his play is extremely flirty with the girls, but he does let his guard down with the boys and plays with them the way he wouldn't with visiting males. So maybe he recognizes them too. Maybe he just would mate with his relatives, which is likely. So, and that's why people like me make sure that never happens. All right, so we're going to get a break. What do you think that cat did to get into the Guinness Book of World Records? Stay tuned and find out on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And the cat who made it into the Guinness Book of World Records. That cat was able to, I wish I had a drum. Brrr, there's my drum roll. Was able to skateboard for 10 meters. That's almost 11 yards, they say. In 12.85 seconds. A skateboarding cat. Now, I've seen skateboarding bulldogs and skateboarding pugs. I've seen surfing, skateboarding, surfing beagles, but I don't think I've ever seen a cat. So well done, Kitty. Very impressive. Very, very impressive. All right, everybody. So let's go on with a little bit of animal news. Gotta say, it's getting confusing out there. Sometimes I'm looking at Facebook, and I have several social media sites. I have a YouTube, Dub Wolf Pet Expert, and a Facebook, Dub Wolf Pet Expert. And then I've got, you know, my personal one for my family and stuff. And I have Camp Good Dog on Facebook. So I get hit with a lot of animal videos on these pet-related ones, right? People are sending me reels, and they're coming through. But sometimes it's so difficult to tell if something is real. Remember that show, Animal Kingdom, way back, and they got sued because they were staging things? They would put an animal like a bear with a tiger in an environment where they'd never meet and then kind of film the standoff and stuff. Well, that's what's going on AI right now. People are like making it look like a monkey would rip open a snake to save baby lions or that it ate or baby birds or something. And none of this seems at all plausible. And I have to really, really look closely, put my glasses on because, you know, I hardly ever use them. But I mean, I'm trying to see, is this, you know, enlarge the screen? Can I see any flaws? It's so difficult to tell the difference. Well, now it's got to the point where even with the news, we can't tell. So there's a story over in Louisiana, and they must have a lot of medical labs there. I don't know why we keep getting these stories from Louisiana with monkeys, but here we go again. Over in Louisiana, they had some monkeys escape from a, in quotes, facility. Can imagine why they escaped. Anyway, the monkeys escaped, and they're little cute little monkeys, probably totally smart and maybe aggressive. I don't know. So definitely used to people, which might not be a good thing, but the monkeys escaped. So the news is reporting on it, and they're saying 1 to 4 monkeys escaped. Well, why are they unclear? Because there's been so many people posting footage and sightings that they can't tell what's real and what's not real. Are there 1 monkey? Is there 4 monkeys? Is there 3 monkeys? Is there 2 monkeys? And then after this was going on for a few days, people started posting pictures of a goat. So there's some kind of missing goat in the same neighborhood. And now apparently the monkeys have hooked up with the goat, which doesn't sound plausible unless you know goats and monkeys, which I do. I had a job cleaning pens at the zoo in Toronto years ago, a volunteer job, and I got to know monkeys and baby gorillas too. And yeah, they might reach out to a goat. They might unlock a goat. They might let a goat out of somewhere, and the goat might follow them around, knowing that they're going to be interesting and entertaining and possibly lead to food reward, which they will. Because they're not going to want to eat all the same things the goat will. So it's going to be a windfall for everybody. The monkeys might even be riding the goat. But the thing is, no one really knows if this is just invented or real. So we all got to start paying more attention and critical thinking. They used to have this ad on Canadian TV about the house hippo. And they would show this little dog dish. You know, and the house was quiet late at night, and the narrator would say, late at night, and it was narrated like a nature show. Late at night, the house hippo comes out in search of water. And they, you know, would show this tiny little artificially created hippo walk out from under the fridge and go drink the water. And then there's a message saying, you know, be careful what you see. Not everything is true. Exactly. We got to be careful. There's a horse hippo out there. There's a goat with a bunch of monkeys. Is there? I don't know. But let's be really careful what we believe and what we repost. I'm sure I'm guilty of some of that too. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And thanks for sending me your comments. I love getting your questions and comments. Please send them to deb@petliferadio.com. All right, everybody. From me and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.